Welcome to CounselorAudioSource.net. Counselor Audio Source is a weekly podcast dedicated to the professional enhancement of practicing counselors, supervisors, and counselor educators. Look for us on the web at CounselorAudioSource.net. This week on CounselorAudioSource.net, we get some good public health information as contributing editor. Dr. Betsy Page provides us with what everyone should know regarding preparing for an avian flu pandemic in her interview of Dave Bentz, a health educator with Portage County, Ohio. For accompanying slides on this presentation, go to the show notes page on the website.
Welcome to Counselor Audio Source. This is Betsy Page, and today I'm going to be interviewing Dave Bentz, and he's a health educator in Portage County in Ohio, and he specializes in avian flu. Thanks for being with us today, Dave.
Oh, not a problem.
Dave, could you talk a little bit about what avian or bird flu is?
Yeah, the avian flu, actually, before you even want to start, you just want to... Everybody's worried about what a pandemic is or what an epidemic is. So the main difference is a pandemic is a worldwide outbreak of a disease, like we saw in the 1918 flu and the couple others. And an epidemic is just like a local or regional outbreak, just a small, like pertussis or whooping cough, something you see in the area. The thing about the bird flu that is different from the seasonal flu is outbreak of a disease caused by influenza virus that already exists in people. And that's the one we see every year that you get your annual flu shot for. The difference here is that the avian influenza, it infects mostly birds. And the type A strains are the influenza virus that has been infecting birds now for millions of years. So what we're worried about, our main concern here is now that it has been affecting birds for millions of years, but now it has been infecting humans. In fact, 251 humans to date back to, I think, September 28th, actually, have now contracted the bird flu from a bird.
So it's that bird-to-human transmission and the fear of human-to-human developing.
That's exactly right. The fear now is the human-to-human contraction between the two. And as everybody knows, humans are out traveling, and since it's a respiratory disease, it could be contracted a lot easier. Over in Asia, it has moved all the way from the farthest part of Asia all the way across Europe now. But where the main cases have been, people have had chickens literally running in and out of their house. So living with birds on a daily basis. So
like close contact.
Very close contact. In fact, there was a case which I've mentioned to a couple of people. A couple of the cases that were over in some of those third world countries, the people were so hungry in some of those countries that actually when they killed off the infected chickens, because they had to kill them all off and throw them, people were so hungry that they went and ate the infected bird. And if obviously, you're going to contract it right away. So in that aspect, we don't have to worry really over in America right now about bird to human. But the case, there was a family over over in Asia that they're still investigating right now.
Okay.
The reason that they're investigating this family is because the whole family died from H5N1. Now, they did have chickens running in and out of their house, you know, and they were in very close contact with chickens on a daily basis. However, they're investigating one of the siblings to the father, because they think it may have mutated into a slight human variation. So there may have been a mutation, and that's why the concern is rising worldwide, and especially over in America, because we haven't even seen H5N1, the high pathogenic.
Now, the H5N1, that's the particular type of flu?
Yeah, that's the particular high pathogenic avian influenza that is they have seen over in Europe that has been from bird to human. Now, we, which people read about in the paper, and I get calls here at the health department, that there is other cases, like you've heard of geese dying or birds, but those are like H15N9s, or the numbers, those are low pathogenic, which we see, you know, and it doesn't even get local, you know, like nationally mm-hmm. broadcasted. Mm-hmm. They're just small cases. It doesn't infect humans. That's the point. The low path doesn't infect the humans, really, but these high pathogenic ones really do.
Really do. Dave, when we do see this pathogenic bird flu, what are we seeing happen, like, to the people?
Well, actually, the main difference between the seasonal flu and the avian flu is seasonal flu actually infects mainly infants and the elderly, which can't fight off this in their immune system. Now, this the avian flu, which actually has a 55% death rate right now, which is contracted bird to human, we're seeing...
So 55% of the humans that get this directly from the birds die.
Have died. Yes.
That's quite a bit.
Yeah, it really is. And that's one of the things we're worried about. However, they are predicting that if it is to go human to human, well, still a lot of people are going to die, but only about 17 to like 22% of the people that contract it will die from the disease. Now, the thing about those 70 to 22%, those aren't just going to be the infants and the elderly, like the seasonal flu, which could create a large problem. This is going to be the active middle age, so you would say, not an exact number, but like 21 to like 48, like the active...
People who are out there working in the world.
Working in the world every day, like contributing to... everyday life.
Parents and working adults.
Yep, and even kids just graduating from college. Mm-hmm. The reason is that these healthy individuals may actually, since their immune system is so healthy, they may actually have an over-response. When it's first to hit them, their immune system may not know what to do with this high pathogenic virus, and it will probably target that group more than any other group.
And so their body over-responds to it.
Yeah, there would be more of an over-response than them just get, like when they get they're with somebody with the seasonal flu and mm-hmm. they're like, well, I didn't even catch it this year. Well, that's because that was just this.
Because they do have the healthy immune system.
They do have the healthy immune system.
But in some ways, that's going to work against them if we have one of these bird flu pandemics.
This may exactly work against them, which is one of the things that happened in the 1918 Spanish flu, which I'm sure a lot of people have heard about. Over 500,000 people died just in the United States, and up to 50 million people died worldwide. And that was one that affected the age groups of 20 to 39. So I realize in 1918, not a lot of people lived as long as we do now, but that was also one that was devastating and killed a lot of people.
It seems like I read someplace that it kills so many people that it decreased life expectancy in the United States.
I think I read that too, actually, yeah. At one point.
So that's that's quite an impact.
Yeah, and we do have a lot more people now, but that's the other problem. It could affect a lot more people now too. So as of right now, since it is just bird to human, there's no large alarm, but that case over there between the family is what's raising a lot of concern right now, and people need to realize that they need to be concerned, not panicking, but just be educated about the situation.
Be educated and sort of monitor what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Dave, when we have the annual flus, there's vaccine for that. So I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about the situation with vaccines.
Well, you're right. The vaccine for the annual flu, which is out there every year, that you can get your flu shot, and some people say, well, I got my flu shot and I still got the flu. Well, that's because it's kind of a guessing game. Every year, even the seasonal flu has a slight mutation. So we try to come out with a vaccine that is going to be able to protect as many people as possible, which normally, if you get your flu shot, it does help fend off colds and the flu for the season. And that is something that they say that is something that is still good to get, that can even help protect you from something like this. But we don't have an actual vaccine for this because it has not achieved the ability of human-to-human contact. And that mutation is going to be a lot more from you contracting it from a bird and the bird's secretions and feces rather than you contracting it now from a human. So the human-to-human vaccine won't be able to be made until the actual case is...
Until somebody gets it from another person.
Exactly.
And they can get some sort of sample to work with to make the vaccine.
And we have to be sure of it, because that case of the family...
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah, we're not sure of that yet, so we can't just go, you know, try to make a vaccine And then, you know, produce it in the egg and then mass produce it, because we don't even know if that was the right one. And it still may mutate from, that's millions of, not millions of miles away, but it's a long ways away. It's across the world right now. So what we need to think about here is when this vaccine is actually going to be able to be produced. It's going to take about 4 to 5 months. This is because we need to make sure that it was an actual case of human to human. We're going to have to take it, and then we're going to have to produce it in the eggs. Chicken eggs is actually what it's produced in. So that means that the first wave that it comes through, most of those people probably won't be vaccinated. And that raises a huge concern, but there's no other way to do it unless we can contain the area of where it was to happen, and it wasn't to spread at all, and maybe a couple people will die, and we can start mass producing that and mm-hmm. be ready for it, and we can get everybody vaccinated.
So some of that would just be an issue of luck if you happen to get something in a very small geographic, probably
yeah.
rural area.
Well, yeah, and almost unlucky for that person that they had to be that.
Well.
Well, but thank
yeah,
goodness they could
save
us all. Unlucky
for the person, but lucky in terms of spreading it across the country.
Right, yes. And that, and there was, they have had a lot of success with, not isolation and quarantine is the word they use, but the politically correct word is social distancing. And that would, they have ideas and kind of plans set in place to quarantine like a 10-mile radius and kill off a lot of the birds. And they even get so specific as to, because it comes from feces, to rinse off underneath every car in that area and mm-hmm. not really let people leave because they may be able to spread it. And if we could get a sample when it is to hit and mass produce it, the problem with it being that a lot of people are wondering, well, who's going to get this vaccine first? You know, am I going to be able to get it when it comes
mm-hmm.
out? Well, of course, you know, the president, high government officials, they're going to start getting it. But what we really need to look at from public health and try to emphasize is that the people in the labs, which I'm sure they've thought about, but also the farmers, need to be vaccinated as soon as possible.
How is that the farmers are a priority?
Well, the main reason and the only way that, well, the main way that they make a vaccine right now is through eggs. And we need these farmers to be able to be vaccinated, be able to, hopefully, the H5N1 won't hit their chicken coop and wipe the chickens off and them all off, and then we won't be able to get eggs because we're going to need millions and millions of chicken eggs to keep producing and producing and producing this virus.
So the vaccine is grown in the eggs, and
grown
therefore
in the eggs.
We have to have some eggs to work with.
We have to have a lot of eggs to work with. So we need to make sure that the farmers are safe to keep their chickens safe and that it doesn't come in and wipe out all these chicken coops.
I remember a couple years ago we had a lot of the ordinary annual flu shot clinics canceled because they had problems making a vaccine. And at that point, there were only two producers of vaccine. Mm-hmm. What's the situation now?
Well, right now, there are four for sure, quote me if I'm wrong, maybe five now, that are actually very well funded and they're ready to start producing this in any way they can. And eggs aren't the only way to produce this vaccine, although they are the best and easiest way to make the vaccine. So there are 4 to 5 companies that are ready to start producing this when it comes and are very well funded from mm-hmm. The U.S. government.
You talked about social distancing or isolation. What about people going to work?
Well, the big thing about people going to work is when this is going to start moving around and people are going to start hearing about it, when you are to get sick, and a lot of people, I'm one of those myself, they still go to work when they're slightly sick because they need to bring home the bill every week. And how is that paycheck going to keep coming?
Bosses don't want you to take too many days off.
Yeah, you only have so many sick days
right.
that you're allowed every year. And the big thing is a prediction from CDC and other sources is that 40% of the workforce probably isn't going to want to go to work, which means 40% of the healthcare workers, which means EMS, hospital workers, all those that we're going to need at this time are either going to be sick, you know, if it
themselves.
Is themselves, or their kids may be sick, or their kids may have to stay home from school because we're trying to keep people out of the schools for about a 12-week period while these shifts are going through. So they're going to have to stay home. So the issue that corporations, businesses, everybody needs to really think about is how can we maintain our essential business, our essential functions, and still keep our business moving in a productive manner, still make money so that we can still pay such and such that had to take off those days, and we can still pay somebody that's working really hard from home that's not sick yet, and they're still contributing to everyday business.
That would be, that planning for business would be something that people could do now.
And they should do now, yeah. People should start planning in businesses and even small family plannings, which is as simple as trying to, the main point you want to get across to people to prepare when this is to come, and not right now. We're not saying right today on, what is it, October 11, 2006.
Yep.
We're not saying, yeah, stockpile your food, don't go to work when you're sick right now. We're just saying when if this is to happen, that we need you to try to stay in one place. We don't need you to have to go shopping and run errands all day, because that's going to put you out in the community, and you may contract it. You could be as healthy as...
It'll increase your chances of having something.
Very much, and that's the main thing. You need to try to stay home, stockpile as many foods. We're not saying that the grocery stores and everything is going to shut down and we're going to go into a blackout. You know, we're not saying that. But if you could stay home and have enough food to cook your meals, do your thing, just run out for quick errands, always be washing your hands, you know, covering your cough in proper ways. And
those are the things that we should do. Are there other things that we should think about doing now?
Well, right now, other than to become educated, see if anybody in your community is doing kind of this presentation right now. But more or less, you could go there and ask even more questions, personal questions. Pre-pandemic education and communication is all we can do as of right now, because we don't know when it's going to hit, and we don't know how it's going to be when it hits. We don't really know the effects of it, and like we said, we don't even have a vaccine for it. So the main thing you can do right now is to use proper etiquette and make sure, and every day you should be doing this, just make sure you're always washing your hands,
mm-hmm.
in and out of the bathroom, even frequently throughout the day. Hand sanitizer is the easiest thing. They make them so that you can keep them on your keychain now. Just put a little bit on there, hand sanitize. If you ever cough, make sure you wash your hands. Try to use your sleeve. You know, don't cough on the person right next to you, mm-hmm. and things
so
of that nature.
Some of those health precautions are real important.
Yeah, and especially when this is to come around, the health precautions, as in the coughing that we're emphasizing, is because it is a respiratory disease. And it's going to come either through like nasal secretions and coughing, or even feces, but that's more, we're worried about birds. But mm-hmm. that could happen anyway, and that's even like hepatitis A. It's like a fecal-oral mm-hmm. type disease, and it can really be spread really quick.
I think you've helped us with a lot of really good information here this morning, and I'm wondering, like you emphasized that one of the things you can do right now is to become educated. Are there some websites or some sources that people should be aware of and maybe consult on a regular basis?
Yeah, most definitely. There's a couple websites that you definitely want to, if you have internet access, of course,
mm-hmm.
The www.cdc.gov. These are both going to be .gov websites. These are government, you know, these aren't the websites where you can just put anything on. This is what everybody, and we're going to get our guidelines from the CDC.
From the CDC.
When this is to come, if you're to go to like a presentation or ask a lot of questions, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do in your county? Well, we're going to do everything we can, but we're going to get it from the CDC. And they're going to, the Centers for Disease Control, I'm sorry, I didn't, for those of you who didn't know what that is, they're the ones. Just like I said, they control the diseases that go throughout the United States. And another one, which you can get off that link, and CDC, I'm sorry, isn't just United States, it's worldwide. It's the Centers for Disease Control.
Mm-hmm.
And off of that website is www.pandemicflu.gov, which there's a link on there, or you can just go straight to it. And the thing about it is a lot of people aren't very aware and worried about it, but the CDC is on top of this, and they, if you go to their website, there's a main link, a huge picture. All you gotta do is click, and you can go through and get checklists for family, businesses, faith-based organizations. Any type of information we can give you right now is there.
Wonderful. I really appreciate you talking to us this morning.
Oh, it's not a problem. In fact, this is this is what I do. And there's a lot of the grant that's out there right now for these different health departments. There's even in our region, almost they have a health educator for this planning and for this education right now. So to be in cooperation with the universities, so we can have a big a plan. What's the university going to do to maintain essential businesses and to get out into the community and plan for businesses, churches, and other organizations?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You've just heard an interview of Dave Betz, Portage County Health Educator, by Dr. Betsy Page of Kent State University about how to prepare for a flu pandemic.
Look for previous podcasts, show notes, and listener feedback on the podcast website at counselaraudiosource.net. Listeners can leave comments or questions for our interview guests or hosts through our Skype.com internet telephone ID, Counselor Audio Source, or by calling 330-871-4242. Counseling techniques and interventions discussed in the Counselor Audio Source broadcast are meant for use by counseling professionals, and Counselor Audio Source is not held liable for any use of the techniques mentioned in the program. Our music bed today is Memorial Day from Jamie Beauchamp. His and other PodSafe music can be found in the PodSafe Music Network at podshow.com. Counselor Audio Source is licensed under the Creative Commons, a nonprofit organization offering a flexible copyright for creative work.